on 12:78 and 15:30 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app, and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios. And it's all been going on this weekend. There's no Aaron, there's no Elliot Minchella, but we do have the game caller and Ross Peltier in the hizzle. Say hey, boys.
Yo. Good evening, West Yorkshire.
Oh, I like that. That's very formal of you. Loads going on in the world of rugby league. We've had we've had the Man of Steel Awards. We've got the grand final coming up. We had the massive semi-final between Wigan and Salford, where Mick, I think you called it right. We'll get back to that in a little bit. And obviously all the comings and goings of the Bradford Bulls. And no better person to discuss that with than the game caller and one of the players themselves. So we're going to get straight into it, boys. Oh, also, sorry, I apologise, but we're also getting one of the former Super League stars from the Huddersfield Giants, St Helens. Oh, where else is Wakefield? Where else has Keith Mason played?
He played in Australia, didn't he, for a bit?
Oh, he did too. Who did he play for down under? Oh, was it one of the Super League teams?
Yeah,
we'll have to ask him when he gets here.
He's played in Ireland too.
He's played east, south, west and north, you know, he's one of those.
Someone's also saying, Robbie, don't forget the Toronto Wolfpack. They're in Super League next year.
That's it, and the Toronto Wolfpack. We weren't forgetting that. Was that Sandy, by the way?
It was.
Sandy sent me a picture on LinkedIn of her kissing the championship trophy, getting promoted. Congratulations, Sandy. She's been flying the flag from this side of the world for the Toronto Wolfpack, and she is a Toronto lass. Good on you. All right, so boys, let's catch up about the weekend. Where do we start? Shall we talk about the elephant in the room? It's not so much an elephant in the room. We said we're going to talk. Well, let's talk about Bradford Bulls. So, first question to go out there. Before we get into the technical stuff, look, Ross, as a player, all of the stuff going on at the moment, what's going through your head at the moment?
Well, it's been one of them, you know, it's been up and down. We've been in the dark about a lot of things, and then it got brought to his attention by one of the lads. Well, somebody contacted one of the players and said, I think you need to have a look at your pensions because something's not going right. So, you know, one of the lads who's obviously, you know, worked in that sector has investigated and found out that, yeah, we haven't been signed up to a pension scheme. So for the past three years when I've been, my contributions haven't been going to the right place. And, you know, that's a bit annoying for the boys, you know, to know, and it's a bit upsetting.
Saying that, I think there was a statement today that they were saying they were looking into it, going to sort things out by the start of next month.
Yeah, we've been told now we're all signed up and all contributions will go back into it. But, you know, just the initial, when you find that out, you know, it was a bit, you know, another thing that we're in the dark about. But, yeah, it's just frustrating, really, and hopefully now with new ownership we can exit special measures.
Well, you know, look, I'm not sticking up for anyone.
No.
Look, first and foremost, I guess I'm closest, the most closest related to being a player because I spent 18 years as a player and only, 5 years as an administrator. But there's a reason why a lot of the time the players are kept in the dark is because they can't hold water, mate.
And
like we've discussed on the show before, sometimes those discussions are so delicate. There's ongoing business discussions so delicate that, you know, the smallest thing can upset them and scupper a decision.
Yeah, I think what you see, you know, with people departing and people leaving, there's been some unhappy people in the camp, and you know, rightfully so. I'm not saying anyone's right or anyone's wrong, but you know, people have had, you know, their grievances with the club and they've not been happy and you know, they've parted ways. And you know, there's still a few of us left, hopefully. You know, we come out the other side and still want to do good for the club. And, yeah, it's just frustrating, and it's one of them rough patches. But, you know, I've been through a liquidation, so, you know, there's been worse at times.
When you found out James Green wasn't staying, did you celebrate? Thinking, more game time?
Nah, it's me and him normally on the bench the other, you know.
So you've lost your bench partner?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, well, he still means more game time.
Yeah, well, me... Yeah.
Well, that's
it's a big blow. Yeah, it's a big blow.
I don't want to play longer than 40 minutes.
It's a big blow, especially Webber yeah. were a big blow as well. You know, he had a massive influence on the dressing room, and you know, he was a really good friend of mine as well. So, you know, that was a disappointing one. But you know, that's how it goes. And the main thing is the club still got a good group of core players moving forward. Really.
Is it also one of those things that you know they're a bigger loss because they're senior players? And, you know, you can't replicate that experience?
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, Greeny always, you know, for as boring as he is, he always talks up and he's a senior player, you know. Look
for
at
as, what? As boring,
how boring as he is, yeah. If you tell him on a conversation, he's quite boring.
He likes the NFL, so but he's a good mate of mine.
But, yeah, you know, with all these Super League experiences he's got, he brought that to the dressing room, and Webber as well with a wealth of experience he had, you know, in training and everything. You know, even with me doing extras with me, and it just helped everyone, all the young lads. And he's one of them kind of people that'll be deeply missed when it round tongue. But I think for Keighley it'll be a massive effort, massive. You know, he's a massive coup for them, and Webber in League One will absolutely kill it. You know, tear it up. But yeah, he'll be missed. But it's one of them. It's for players like myself, George, Steve. You know. Senior players who've been around the block, whether it be Championship or whatever, you know, we've got to really step up and guide these young boys who are at the club now, so.
Oh, I like that, I like that. Okay, so let's get into the detail, Mick. You're the man with the finger on the pulse, so to speak. You like what I did there? On the pulse too,
yeah.
So to speak. Well, what's the latest, mate? So give us a breakdown, paint the picture for those that aren't familiar. And I've got to admit, man, there's a lot of people watching this.
You all want to know what's going on.
Okay, so Mick's going to give you the download.
Just before I give you the download, Ryan McConnell's asking, you know, we as fans deserve some answers. Now, regarding the pension situation...
We haven't got the answers for you, though. We're not allowed to give you
that's
answers.
That's been investigated by the pension regulator, so there will be answers.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking weeks, potentially months, before those answers materialise. But the current lowdown is Andrew Chalmers on Sunday afternoon confirmed that as the shareholder of the Bradford Bulls, he's entered into what is called a conditional agreement to sell his entire shares in the club to a UK-based investor group, which is being led by an experienced former Super League director. And the sale of the club, from speaking with the UK investor group and the Rugby Football League this week, the sale is expected to be ratified at an RFL board meeting on Friday morning. There's still a couple now, of I's that need to be dotted and T's
is that
crossed.
Expected to be ratified, or is that just for the first time to go in front of them to be explored?
Well, the RFL have already... what's happened, Robbie, is because the pension situation, albeit it's only just sort of like come out in the last week and a half, the RFL have known about this for at least a month now, and they've obviously been doing due diligence in the background, and this is why, you know, unfortunately Andrew is having to sell his shares effectively. You know, Andrew is no longer deemed a fit and proper person, so Andrew's had to sell the club effectively, and there's going to be no owners. Now, from what the RFL have said, they've already carried out the due diligence, so this investor group, they do have the funds to carry the Bradford Bulls, to carry the baton on from Andrew Chalmers.
But just so that we're clear, that language hasn't been used publicly by the RFL, that Andrew Chalmers is not a fit and proper person.
No, I spoke with Andrew Chalmers himself, and that was communicated to myself. So yeah, obviously... The sale of the club, when we say ratified, we're expecting that to go through, fingers crossed, for the players' sake and the supporters who are joining us on the Pulse this evening, to go through on Friday. So barring any last-minute obstacles, Robbie, as Ross has said, you know, all the players got an email from the new owners, which basically says, you know, the new owners have set up a new pension scheme and... the missing payments for the last 3 years, all that money is going to be paid into this new pension scheme, and fingers crossed on Friday, which is my birthday of all days, you know, I'm going to get the best birthday present ever, which is, you know, some stability at the Bradford Bulls, which is what everybody wants right now.
Yeah, that's right. And we have enjoyed stability for the last couple of years. It's just this back end of the season where things have started to look a little shaky. How does it all leave you feeling, Ross?
Well, it's one of them. It's a bit disappointing, you know. But I think things have been I think, you know, from like the back end of the season, I think there's been a lot of frustration with players. There's been a lot of frustration with us, you know, trying to sort deals out for next year to stay with the club, and then finding out, you know, we're in special measures, not finding that out from the club, you know, finding it out. We were just finding everything out on social media and stuff, really. And, you know, I'm not saying that's anyone's fault. That would just felt like, you know, that's how it was. But, you know, I think we've got, if we can keep what we've got now, you know, with the young lads and the players who actually care about the club, like, you know, like myself and George, you know, we're kind of hanging on and we want to play for the club because it means so much to us. So hopefully, like Mick said, if the sale goes through, then everything can start get back on an upturn and we can focus on next season, really.
It is going to be a very tough year next year, Robbie. You know, there's no questions about it, you know.
I mean, it's already a tough competition. There's the ultimate prize on the line. I think it's become, you know, without Toronto being in there, let's be honest, without the bank balance of Toronto, and we know London aren't going to throw the sort of money that Toronto have in 2019. So without that, it's all on.
It's an open field. It's fantastic.
I feel it'll be pretty similar to what, when did we go down, 2016?
2017.
So that year, beside we're there.
Regrouping.
We had a lot of young lads, and if we didn't have the minus 12, you know, we'd have finished mid-table. So we going off that, I feel this year is going to be a lot like that year, and we're not behind the barrel of minus 12, so I feel like we can still have a dig and you know, we can still have a go for. And I think with Toronto gone, if that moves everybody up one, you know, London come down, but yeah.
Well, let's not underestimate the amazing gesture that you and George are making at this point in time, you know, sacrifices. And I know offers have come into you. I'm not sure about George, but, you know, you're putting your heart and your head together, and you're standing strong. So that's really commendable of you. So round of applause. I tell you what, putting him under some pressure now, aren't we? So if he comes off here and he gets a big Super League offer,
money cannot buy the loyalty what people like Ross are showing Steve Crossley and George Flanagan.
All Bradford boys, eh?
Yeah.
It's got to be in the blood. Blood is thicker than water.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app, and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live at the Pulse 2 studios with the gang caller Mick Gledel, Ross Peltier, and Keith Mason's joined us. And he's just accusing me of not tagging him on Twitter. Now, how many Twitter accounts have you had?
Oh, it's been a few.
Exactly. I couldn't find the right one. Every single page I went to tag you in, it was this page no longer exists. This page no longer. So I just gave up thinking, I'm not even sure this guy has a Twitter page.
It's at Real Keith Mason. So,
at the Real Keith Mason.
Real.
Not the fake one.
So there's a few out there.
I was even looking for Rugby Blood as well. So it's great to have you here, Keith. In the next section, is everyone talking to the mics?
Yep.
In the next section, we'll get into what your projects are, but we're just wrapping up from the weekend. Man of Steel. Jackson Hastings got the Man of Steel. What were your thoughts on that? There was a new Man of Steel, actually. Let me just start. There was a new Man of Steel format this year. So, so they sent me out, invitation, et cetera, et cetera.
I saw you on Facebook Live and the back thread.
And how was I dressed?
You were looking very smart, Robert.
But how was I dressed? What was I dressed in?
A nice suit.
Nice suit, Dickie Poe. Yeah. You've been to Man of Steel Awards before, Keith.
You were oozing opulence.
Traditionally, there'd been a black tie do. Well, I didn't look at the so I turned up in a black tie, Dickie Poe, and no one's even wearing a tie. Actually, the first shot I did, there were like three people in shot, and all three of them were wearing Dickie Bow, so I didn't look that out of the water. One of them was Luke Robinson. He didn't look at his invitation either, or Robbo, and some other random, I didn't know who he was, but I liked the format. It was really relaxed. Invited 100 fans from each club. So from the get-go, it was like it was a bit of a party.
Mm.
It was, you know, they had the big auditorium at the Lowry Center, Lowry Theater, sorry, and it was like a party. And obviously, because it's in Salford, and Salford beat Wigan on the weekend, and they, you know, had two strong candidates for both Man of Steel and Coach of the Year, they turned out in big numbers, did the Salford fans. Oh, it was a Salford-a-thon, I got to admit. So anyway, Jackson Hastings, everyone's thoughts on that?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. You know, I think with Jackson Hastings, what I like about Jackson is, he's a true underdog. You know, he's come back from a lot of adversity. I actually spoke to Ian Blees just to congratulate him, for Salford. You know, he's done a wonderful job. I think it's fantastic for Rugby League, to see Salford in the final. And I congratulated him and I said, listen, I've got all the top players in the world attached to rugby, but apart from Jackson Hastings, I can't get hold of him. Can you, give me a heads up? You know, cause he does epitomize never giving up, you know, and, watching him, the few times I've watched him, you know, he's the whole package. And, obviously with the Man of Steel, the people on there now are voting, you know, a few of them guys have won the Man of Steel, you know, Ellery Allen, it's great to see Ellery back.
Yeah.
I'll be joining Ellery for some dinner tomorrow. So hopefully the luncheon. Hopefully get Ellery on board for Rugby Blood and, you know, he's a hero of mine and I'm sure he is for.
So don't give too much away. We want to talk about in the next segment of Rugby Blood and all of your projects.
We need a couple of little radio shows.
Well, we already know that the show's not long enough, isn't it?
But yeah, Jackson Hastings is fantastic and I really think that Salford can give St. Helens a real good go. I think it's going to be a good final. You know, listening to Phil Clark, what he mentioned about the Salford team being a lot of the players wouldn't get in other Super League teams was very disrespectful. You know,
yeah, I agree.
You know, end of the day,
I don't think he meant it like that.
Yeah. But it came out wrong, and it came out on TV, you know, so people are listening to that and think, wow.
Phil Clark goes to sit on stage with Barry and Terry, so they get invited. When Phil walks up, he just got booed, he got hammered. Every time he said anything, everyone started booing him. I actually felt bad for him in the end.
Yeah, it's one of them. I think comments like that sometimes, you know, you need to just not say them because you can make yourself look a bit of an idiot, you know.
Yeah.
This is what you do when you do this stuff, you know, when you commentate or you do radio, you know, you got to put your neck out on the line.
Or you get into trouble with your coaches, eh?
Yeah, like me, I got banned from doing it.
What's that?
JK still be doing interviews for a bit.
He likes to say it as he sees it.
All right.
Yeah. He keeps giving the opposition
no face for radio.
You can blame me for that one. I asked the question and Paul Ross got
Mick does a call-in for the Bradford Bulls games, so they were streaming them in 2018 and calling them through Pulse 2, MDL, in 2019. And at the beginning of the season, before he was scuppered by Irvine, Ross was his go-to man because Ross was injured.
Yeah.
And Ross was the guy that was doing all the calling with him. But you're brushed, didn't you?
Yeah, I got brushed, but it's all right.
It wasn't brushed because of your talent. It was brushed just because of the hierarchy system involved.
Do you remember, though, back in the days, we used to have, as rugby league players, we used to have media training, right? We don't have it no more, do we? Obviously. So, someone can say something and your career could be totally over.
Oh, yeah.
By just saying one thing.
In this world that we live in now, the social media world.
Yeah.
So, but Jackson Hastings,
to that. Yeah, I think when we said all the nominations, you know, he was the only one still absolutely flying and to the end of the season, you know, the others kind of tailed off. Blair Costa that kind of tailed off while they were injured, weren't they, for a lot of season. But yeah, Jackson Hastings, and I think what endeared him to all the fans is what he does off the field as well, you know, when he goes and sees fans and, you know, he really engages with everybody and everybody loves him and, you know, he's been a massive part in Salford getting to that final and who would have thought Salford had been in a grand finals this year?
It was three months ago, they were looking at the relegation fight. They had started slipping back down the table.
And if you look at the players that have lost as well, you know, Jackson Hastings, you know, he's galvanised everything and you know, like you say, Ian Blees, I was listening to an interview that he did the other day, and Ian was basically saying, you know, like, this time last year, you know, we were potentially, you know, on the verge of being relegated, and look at the transformation in the last 12 months. They've sold over 10,000 tickets for the grand final on Saturday. That is unbelievable, and, you know,
not even 10,000 people in the city of Salford.
Well, Salford's average crowd this season is 4,500. So you can see what's happening all of a sudden. Greater Manchester, the Red Devils.
I think what the good thing about that is, because Manchester's such a big city, they're going to get behind Salford. And you might see a new fan base
They've got an aggressive marketing campaign going on at the moment. 70 of the big billboards in and around Manchester, and it's all about supporting Salford. Now, the argument is St. Helens are going to get annoyed at that, but who cares? St. Helens got a big support base. It's about making that event the biggest event. And let's be honest, St. Helens are going in as heavy favourites. But magic can happen. I will say this about Jackson Hastings. He got up and he did an absolutely brilliant acceptance speech. He talked about exactly what you were talking about mm-hmm. before, Keith, about his adversity.
Overcoming, yeah.
He said that this time a year and a half ago, he was sitting on a couch in Sydney thinking about getting a job. He mm-hmm. said that in front of everyone, getting a real job, and said that in front of everyone. Everyone started laughing. He said, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with real jobs, but he said there's nothing beats rolling around in the mud with your best mates.
Yeah.
So he talked about that adversity, but he did it in a way that they weren't words, they were meaning. He actually, as he was talking about it, you started walking through him sitting on that couch and starting asking those questions of himself. And it was just gold, absolute gold. And then you could just see that he was just so humble to be blessed in the way and be recognized. And I just thought that is so commendable. We pulled everyone in.
Yeah, you know, he's a very unique, he's good for rugby league because, like you said, when he's explaining his story, he's actually storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, so you're actually reliving what he's saying to you, you know. No offense to a lot of rugby players, but they'll tell a story and it won't come out right. So, when he's speaking, he's speaking from a place of, you know, his back's against the wall, he's gone through a lot of adversity, and obviously he's learned from it, and he's galvanizing, he's used that as a motivation for him to be, to be great as he is now.
Yeah, do you know who's a real underdog story no one's really talking about? Lolo here. He was branded as the reason why Leeds have
what
Leeds
you used to say about him,
and then they swapped him for Rob Lewis.
I told you he was good.
They swapped him for Rob Lewis. They swapped him for Rob Lewis. Rob Lewis would be thinking, oh.
No, well, yeah.
He'll be thinking, whoa.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, Lolo is going to a grand final, and, you know, it's one of them.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
I thought that was a great move for Rob Lewis. But actually, everyone wants to play in GFA. Okay, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we'll be hearing all from Meso and his very own rugby blood. There, you can see a graphic novel right there. Look how good looking this man. Way too good looking to be a front row in rugby.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live here at Pulse 2 Studios, in the studio with the game caller Michael Gledhill, the reggae warrior Ross Peltier, and the rugby blood himself. It is none other than Keith Mason. Meso, welcome to the show. You came in a little bit earlier, so I said let's just get you on live. Anyway, yeah. Meso, tell us what you've been up to. So, just to put you to give it some context, me and Meso ran into each other this time last Tuesday.
That's right. Yeah.
So a week and a bit ago, we're both taking our children. I took my son to kickboxing for the first time. Did a bit of kickboxing when I was a kid. His mum wanted to take him to karate, but I if he's going to get into any martial arts, it's going to be Thai boxing because it's something I've done before. So I knew down in Bradford Road in Batley, Dean White's gym. They have classes that involve kids as well. And anyway, I took my son down there. Meso was walking around. I didn't know. He saw me sitting in the car park, not knowing what to do, who to talk to. I said, Meso, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm taking my little one up to the kickboxing. I said, oh, godsend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know where I was going. I was going to take him into the weights gym. Anyway, long story short, we run into each other. Me and Meso played together at, Huddersfield Giants and, I asked him if he'd come on the radio show this week and talk about his projects. He's been a very busy boy since retiring. So tell us, you know, walk us through that journey, hanging up the boots, all the way through to this project that you've got going on at the moment. And also, I mean, you do PT work as well, don't you?
Not necessarily as much now. I'm really busy with other stuff that take up most of my time. Obviously, first of all, guys, it's a absolute honour to be on here with young Ross and meet you guys on
young
here.
Young Ross, he likes that.
Yeah, it was good to see yourself, Robbie. We played some good years, had some good fun at Huddersfield Giants. I looked up to you when I was a kid, mate, so it was good to play against you.
Oh, please, I'm not that old.
But I was lucky. I played in some fantastic teams. Going to Australia at 19 and coming back and playing in that fantastic St. Helens side.
Who did you play for? Melbourne?
Melbourne Storm, yeah.
It was Melbourne?
Yeah. I live with Cameron Smith.
Did you?
Yeah, he's still playing the old dog.
Pick that name up. I think we're going to get a few of those things.
Yeah, but, obviously, since retiring from rugby league, obviously everybody knows that, you know, I befriended a movie star and then about a film star.
Who?
Mr. Rourke.
No, pick your name. Pick your name up.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke and, you know, Mickey were good enough
to...
Who else?
Huh? Oh, I mean, you had a list of A-list celebrity mates that you were hanging out with.
Well, this fella is my little girl's godfather, and that's Joe Calzaghe.
Ding! Pick your name up. There's another one.
Yeah, we'll get through this one.
How does a northern boy from Moa, from Doesbury,
yeah,
end up hanging out with Joe Calzaghe and Ricky Mickey Rourke?
Mm. Who knows? It's in the stars. You know, that night when we obviously we played in a Challenge Cup final in 2009.
It all comes back to a drunken night out, doesn't it?
I think, you know, if we'd have won the... It's a good job we lost, because if I never met Mickey Rourke, I probably wouldn't be sitting in our rugby blood. So, you know, when I met Mickey Rourke that night, I introduced myself to him, and I think that night he changed my stars as a human being, you know. He just gave me a slight nudge in a different direction, and that's why I left rugby league, still in one piece. I did the film Skin Traffic. Mickey gave me a call one day, and he just says, "Hey, Keith, are you all right, kid?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm not bad, Mickey." And then it was just one of those surreal moments, and he's like, "Keith, listen, kid, do you want to be in a movie?" And then all the years of documentation, still another thought, is this guy for real?
Like,
I goes, "Oh, no, listen, man, I can't. I'm playing for Castleford this week, so I'll have to give it a miss." Wink, wink.
We forgot Cass on our list.
Sorry, Castleford.
Other day, well, not other day, but I was watching that Bulletproof with Al Hassan, and he was running.
Yeah,
no,
I did a scene. I played a captain, yeah. The Russian captain. I had one line. It was "Turn it off." And I was with Noel Clark and Ashley Walters. But you know, listen, you've got to audition for them parts. You know what I mean? So it might be just one line, but you know, if you look at a lot of actors, Idris Elba, you know his story when he went to New York and he lived in his car for 3 or 4 years, didn't get an acting gig. When you look at it like that, I mean, it does take perseverance and a lot of hard work. And what I did when I retired from football, and a lot of rugby league players go through this, is that it's very tough, because you're cutting something off that you've done all your life. And a lot of rugby players struggle with rededicating themselves and pushing forward to find another vision, another goal. And what they don't understand is, and I'm testimony to it, that, listen, I made a lot of mistakes. I struggled. I went through a bout of depression. You know, I didn't want to admit it, because, you know, big, strong guys, rugby players, we don't want to admit that we're weak, but it's not a weakness. It's just that, you know, us guys, rugby league players, we hold a lot of stuff in, and it's about opening up to the right people, like, you know. And, you know, I was self-destructing, for quite a while, and, I kind of got my act together. Set some goals out, rededicate myself. I realized that the opportunity that Mickey Rourke gave me was, one in a million. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give this acting gig a go. And I really think it's important that any sportsman, when you retire from sport, is obviously fall back into something else, but we're not falling back. We're moving forward, aren't we? We're moving forward. We want to get better. And for me, I'm a very hungry and ambitious person. And, I think the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing now is testimony to my hard work, because, you know,
You're not incapable of anything, or?
Well, you know, my motto is that I work really, really hard, and if you keep working hard and you keep knocking on that door, someone's going to open the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I see it, and, you know, that's the whole message behind Rugby Blood. You know, I don't think many people would have seen me, seen the front row forward, writing films and creating graphic novels and comics. And
I'm worried now you're going to start putting ideas in Ross's head.
Hey, listen, man, I'm here to inspire the next generation of rugby league players that, when sport finishes, what you got to understand is, you got to take all the good and all the bad, all them tools you've learned in sport, and use them for the rest of your life. Use the positivity. So,
you
got to use all them tools that you've learned as an athlete, and that's what I do. I mean, I've not drunk for 2 or 3 years now. Mm. You know, I'm very focused, very disciplined. Yeah, you keep seeing me popping up on these TV shows, Bulletproof that, having these little cameos. You know, I've been working hard now for the last 3 years, really focused. And I came up with the idea for Rugby Blood. I was speaking to a guy in Norway who's a writer. And we came up with an idea about a kind of a 007 character, but let's make him a rugby star who saves the world, right? And what I did is I'd written a screenplay. So obviously I've learned to write screenplays. So originally Rugby Blood does come from a screenplay. What I did, I sent the screenplay down to Pinewood Studios. Pinewood Studios, obviously, where they make all the Bond films, Star Wars. Just on the off cuff through a friend. And then a couple of weeks later, I get an email from a film producer called Deborah Wooten down there. And she says, hi, Keith, we really like your script. Could we meet you? And I fell off my chair. I thought, are you kidding me? This is the first.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live here at Pulse 2 Studios, in the studio with Keith Mason, Ross Peltier and Michael Gledhill. Before we get back into the rugby blood stuff, we just have to do a quick shout out to Toronto for the success that they had on the weekend, up against a really, really tough, Featherston team that really gave it their all in great form. And you know what? I think they did themselves really proud. Yeah, they scrambled so hard. Toronto threw absolutely everything at them. Unlike 2018, where they sort of, God knows what happened in that game, but, they stayed patient. Toronto stayed patient. For me, I like them to be a little more patient, sort of built pressure. They were trying to score on every try, but they stuck with the system and finally wore, Featherston down. But, Mason, what are your thoughts on having to get on a plane and fly to North America for a game, for a Super League match?
Do you know what? It's very similar to where I'm going with Rugby Blood and how to market the game, not just down the M62 corridor in Australia, but worldwide. And I think Canada coming into the competition, for me personally, is the future.
It's a great opportunity.
It's the future, man. And it's up to Toronto now to do the marketing, to promote our great game, because it is the greatest game on the planet, you know. And I think Toronto being in there is history-making. But, you know, it's exciting times.
Now, we're going to have to come back and do something else with the rugby blood, because we don't have enough time to really get in deep with everything that you're doing. We just want to just quickly talk. This is the graphic novel. If you're watching at home, or via social media, you just see. Yeah. See, doesn't it look the same? There you go. Same person. Ross has just been talking off air about how he can be a character. He wants to have blades shooting out of his toenails, not his hands, out of his toenails. He got them like claws. Where can people get a hold of Rugby Blood?
You can get Rugby Blood on Amazon, Waterstones. I think it's in the Wigan Warriors.
Are you leaving this with me?
You want that? Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm dropping this hand. There's not much of a hand.
I can leave you. I'll sign it for you, Robbie. Don't worry about
it. There we go. Now we're talking.
Well, just if you ain't got time, real quick. Obviously, Robbie Blood, is endorsed by Betfred Super League. I went to Super League and spoke to Robert Elston, and Lee Hicken. Lee Hicken loved the idea. The end game is, I'm in talks with Netflix right now. I've got a 4-page panel of, 4 20-minute episodes. I've got a filmmaker next week coming to see me. So if we go to Netflix and we do the deal with Netflix for Rugby Blood, you're going to have Daryl Clark, Jermaine McGilvery, Mark Percival, Johnny Lomax, Lachlan Coote.
Ross Peltier.
You're going to have Ross Peltier in there. You're going to have, people in Australia, Victor Radley, Kevin Ponga.
Hey, don't discard Robbie Hunter-Paul as a coach.
Let me just tell you this, right?
I'm always curious about being a coach.
Wait a second, Robbie, right? Because, you know, I want big hulking guys, right? And actually, Henry Paul's in it. Henry Paul is actually in it. I spoke to Henry a couple of weeks ago.
I deserve that.
But there's still time.
Well, Henry needs an assistant, you know, someone that you run the water on.
But there's still time for you, Robbie, because I'm still including players. But right now, I'm including the best relevant players.
Yeah,
but
I'm just not relevant.
There's some good old ones in there. Gordon Tallis and Ruben Wickie.
Oh, they're right.
But I would
still not mess with them.
Kiwis.
No matter what, they've still got size on their side, and I've never had that. And so I don't have the speed anymore. I spend too much time looking at marketing, so my brain... My game brain just won't work as quickly as it used to. So what else have I got?
Yeah.
I'll run the water.
And he's fit enough as well.
Still true.
So also, with Rugby Blood, we're looking at launching the second edition Shot Clock, which is based in New York City, which is relevant to New York City Rugby League team.
Yeah. Sounds cool. It just sounds cool. And you were talking about it off air. This is a great vehicle to start promoting our stars, like you're just saying, to actually to get them in graphic novels, to start turning them to what they really are. They are actually modern day Marvel characters.
Exactly, and that's where Robert Elston bought into it, Lee Hickin bought into it. The end game is to do a film, but the Netflix series will probably be the biggest deal ever for rugby league, because imagine 122 countries watching anime. The kids are going to love it. I also had a meeting with Horneels, who sponsor Warrington and Penrith Panthers, Newcastle. Well, Warrington Wolves.
Keep going.
The O'Neill spot, yeah. they're going to come on board. They're going to collaborate with me. And they're actually going to do special edition kits for people, say, like Jermaine McGilvey, Daryl Clark. They're going to do a specialised kit, a rugby blood kit, just for that person, and then go to the clubs and sell that. The kids will love it.
So out of all the clubs that you play for, which is going to be the rugby blood kit then? What's it going to be based on?
Well, I've left that. I've left...
You play for so many clubs,
it is,
though,
listen. Well, not too many, mate. Not like you, Robbie. Knowledge. Robbie, I'm doing about the same as you. About five.
Well, let's work our way through
that. Yeah.
I did four.
All better clubs, though. Two of them, anyway.
I did four.
Right. Salford, Huddersfield.
Salford, Huddersfield, Bradford. Lee, and Bradford.
Yeah, right.
Well, you could count Harlequins. They did play rugby league, a union for Harlequins.
Okay,
I'll give you four.
So
there's no league.
Yeah. I'm going back to rugby blood here now. So the O'Neill Sportswear Company is a fantastic company. You know what I mean? They do a lot of the Super League teams. And I sat down and spoke with them, and they're super excited about creating a rugby blood World All-Stars team kit. And what we're doing is now, we're starting seminars, going around to, we're starting at Castleford Lot Lane on the 18th, and we go speak to 150 kids about the meaning behind rugby blood and David King. And David King doesn't have no superpowers, he just has determination, never give up attitude, and true grit. And kids need to see that. Kids need to see that life isn't easy, but if you give in, it's not getting easier, so you gotta keep persevering.
And because they don't have superpowers, something maybe that's a little more relatable.
100%. Yeah. But then you've got David King as the main character, then you've got all these real life relevant superstars of the game helping him save the world.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Oh, then, well, that's, look, mic drop, boom, done. I think it's absolutely brilliant. You're focusing your energy in the right direction.
Thank you very much.
But talking about superstars, we've got to then mention the upcoming grand final this Saturday night. St. Helens versus the biggest underdog that I think the Super League has ever seen, and that is Salford. But many of us are not really seeing them as big underdogs.
No, they could pull off an upset. You know, I think Jackson Hastings might be boosted by his Man of Steel, and it's going to be exciting, isn't it? I'm glad I'm going.
Do you know the thing about Salford is them just making a final is like winning a final, right?
Yeah.
And the pressure's not on Salford. The pressure is on St. Helens. The pressure was on St. Helens against Wellington in the Challenge Cup final. If Salford can get up for that game and they're error-free, because they play that type of game, don't they? They grind teams out. And as you know, in grand finals and Challenge Cup finals, defence wins games. And I think the team that tackles hard and defends well will win that game.
It's the clock. The clock starts playing funny things in your mind when you're the team that's supposed to win. When you're not the underdogs, when you're the favourite. The time and the clock starts playing funny. Yeah. We should be blowing these away. Why aren't we blowing these away? Challenge Cup final, isn't it?
Lachlan Cool dropping balls cold and
missing kicks in front of the post, 26 errors. I think they come up. People keep talking about their first. No try, which was a try, as we all saw.
But that wasn't the reason St. Helens lost.
26 areas. Yeah. That's why they lost. They had a completion rate of like 65%. Every coach will tell you that has an impact on the outcome of a game.
If you're not 90%, JK isn't Walls.
But you know what? If you look at that St. Helens team, there's only been one player who's played at Wembley in the last 10 years. So think about
it. You need experience.
If you've never played in the final,
extra added pressure.
Do you know what? When I was 21, I played for Saints against Wigan in 2004. For me, I just grew up on the energy. I loved it. I loved it. But a lot, you can imagine players going out in front of 80,000 people. Sometimes it spooks them.
It does.
You make a few errors and that's it, you know. But not like you with hat tricks and stuff, but, you know.
I'm going to predict St. Helens by 10. I think it'll be a real tight 10s finish, but St. Helens will just navigate through.
Quickly?
Yeah, I'm going to go Saints by about 6.
I'm tired.
Quick.
I'd have to say my old team, St. Helens, but I might go for an upset, Salford by two.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them, Salford by two, because I love an underdog. Look, thank you very much for listening wherever you are tonight. Thank you to the boys being here. Remember, Keith Mason's Rugby Blood. Rugby Blood, just put it in Google and in Amazon and other networks and you can find it. We love you. Bye-bye. Mwah.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.